Hey, it's Cindy Howes and Lizzie Noh from the podcast Basic Folk, honest conversations with folk musicians.
Basic Folk is truly changing the game with our well-researched deep dives that aim to empower the listener while fostering the folk community.
I basically am writing worship music for youth group rejects.
Maternal regrets and maternal guilt are universal.
I try to make things that are beautiful and that are made with like a purity of intention.
You can listen to Basic Folk on the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network or at basicfolk.com.
But you don't have to do anything weird, like stick them in mustard or anything, right? Like, or
I would stick them in mustard for $20,000.
Yeah, I would too, actually. I have pretty good feet for a boy.
I think you have good feet. I honestly peeked down at them for a second.
Did you really?
Like, let me just say.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
They're good feet.
And boy feet are gross.
Hey, everybody, this is Bree Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van.
Mic Stands in the Van is an interesting choice, but we do what we
do. I think Mic Stands in the Van is a good name for an album.
Oh, my gosh. You can have that.
Okay, I'll take it.
I guess we'll go ahead and get started. Kyle, hey, Kyle. You good, Kyle? Nobody so far really has known South Park Kyle voice.
Kyle!
I knew you would know it.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, we've had guys on the road named Kyle, and we can't not say it all the time.
I know. Someone was like, hey, Kyle, edit that out, Kyle. He's great. So Kyle's my tour manager, but he also pushed me to do a podcast, and you are a professional podcaster.
I am.
Tell me about your podcast, because... And tell me how much worse my podcast is than yours. So
well, far. I haven't heard yours yet, but I will say that your choice of guests is amazing.
Right.
Am I the second guest?
No, you're number four.
I'll take that. I'll take first five.
Right, but we don't know what order we're going to put these out in, so you're probably going to be number one.
Okay, and see, now I'm starting to like it more.
Right, yeah.
My podcasts, so I started a podcast back in 2009. When Bowling for Soup was making a new record, and I didn't even know what this podcast thing was, right? And so a guy that worked for Rainmaker, my management company, was like, you need to start a podcast. And I'm like, okay. So essentially it's this radio show, and I just put it into the world, and people just listen to it, you know?
Right.
And it blew up really fast. It got like 10,000 subscribers, like right away.
Dang.
Because there was no competition.
Right.
And
also because you're awesome, but thanks.
Well, I wavered on it. Like I would do an episode like every 6 months. And so my theory is, had I kept going, I would probably be the number one podcaster on the planet.
Right. I always feel like, you know, with everything that's coming out and everyone's like, do TikTok. And I'm like, it's going to be gone in 6 months. And then it's like, well, if I would have jumped on that train, maybe something would have happened if I would have stuck it out. But you kind of just never know in this business what's going to stick and what's worth your time. And so, you know, I was always like, I should start a podcast too. And then now I have Kyle. So now we're doing it. I'm kind of at the point in my career where I'm doing everything.
Yeah.
Just to see what sticks.
But see, I did exactly the same thing on TikTok. I got on there and I did a couple of videos and they were huge. And I just didn't pay attention to it for years. Right. So now I pay attention to it and it's like a full-time job.
I know.
The podcast thing though, a friend convinced me that I needed to do a regular one. And so I started doing a show called Jarrett Goes to the Movies.
Movies, yes. It's great.
And that show is actually ending. 300 plus episodes, 7 years. And we're actually converting it. We're basically getting rid of the movie. Mm-hmm. And now the show, same cast. It's going to be called Suburbanites. And we talk about everything in the world 15 minutes at a time. You bring in a topic. We talk about it 15 minutes. Buzzer goes off. We have to stop talking about it. Move on to the next thing.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and then I have Rockstar Dad with Gary, my drummer for Bowling for Soup. And that show's been on for 3 years and our listenership is pretty high. That show goes out on Adobe Radio first and then a podcast. And so we have a lot of fun doing that. We just talk to dads.
Right.
About
being dads.
Yeah.
It's like, because moms have like their mom groups and their wine nights and need a dad group.
So we were in a swimming pool one day having a couple of beers and we were just talking about our kids.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is a show.
Right.
And I said, you know, we have so many friends who are fathers and they never get asked about their kids. They get asked about this song or this music or this joke or this scene in a movie or whatever it is. Or, you know, because sometimes we have our neighbors down the street, you know, and it's like, we're boys. Nobody asks about your kids.
Right.
Right. So we basically get guests and they're so stoked to be talking about the literal most important thing in their life.
Right. I love that.
Yeah.
And it should be that way. My boyfriend is a dad. He's a great dad.
Yeah.
And he's a girl dad. But it's the same. It's so crazy because it's like everybody asks me, when are y'all getting married? When you know, da-da-da. Right. It's always like, where's your boyfriend? And I talk about him on stage all the time. And I'm like, how many times did you get asked about when are you getting married? He never gets asked on radio.
No.
Nothing. You know? And he, it's not that he doesn't want to talk about it. It's just like a different.
Crazy. Boys are different. Like, see, yeah. I talk about this all the time. I'll go, like, let's say I go and have lunch with my friends or I go and play golf with my friends. And Casey, my wife, will say, how's such and such doing? Oh, he's doing great. Well, how's their baby? I don't know. I guess he's good. I didn't ask about that. You know, like,
right.
Well, how was their anniversary party that they had or whatever? I don't know. I didn't ask about that. You know what I mean? Like, boys don't do that. We just don't. We literally just talk about the same thing we talk about all the time. Like what we're eating.
Right.
You know?
Food.
War stories, you know, and that's pretty much about it.
I love that you're doing that. That's great. And Did you know, completely related, we have the same middle name.
We do?
Well, mine's with an E.
Okay.
But
yeah,
I thought that was neat.
That is neat.
And we played Green Hall last night, so I think it's very bold of you to come do this with me this morning. We're both kind of dying today.
A little bit, yeah. And I do have to tell the listener that I was 45 minutes late. After pushing this thing, we pushed the thing an hour, and I was still 45 minutes
late. I'm so glad you were 45. I've never been more thankful for 45
minutes. Oh, my God. I was so happy that you said that because I'm not dying. I'm not like super hungover or anything. I'm just tired.
Yeah,
right. You know? And like, because it was a lot, right? I mean, we sold out Green Hall last night. That was your CD release. That was my first country show in America and in Texas. And I played the CBGBs of Texas country.
I mean, I can't even believe that we're on the same show together. I was dying. I'm just such a fan.
Oh, thank you.
And I love the record's really great. And I love that you're doing a country project. I want you to tell everyone about it. But I just want to start by saying, you know, way too many chords for this genre. Do you know that?
Is that true?
Yeah. You just know about 17 too many.
Yeah, I do. I throw in some C sharps and stuff sometimes.
I love it.
Yeah.
I have one song with about 6 chords in it on my new record. I'm pretty proud of that. But
well, if you noticed, I'm glad you brought that up because I actually had to use my phone at the show last night because I wrote this record during quarantine. We recorded it a year and a half ago and I've been on tour with Bowling for Soup. So I don't know these songs. Like I know the words,
right?
But like they're all G, C and D because that's what every song is. Right.
Yeah.
And then every once in a while an E minor and A minor. And it's like learning the order of those. And then there's a B and that. And so I literally had my phone on a stand,
which is fine and great. Yeah. I get that. I only did 5 songs for my new record because I don't know the other 6.
Sure. Right. But you know, I wonder, is that a thing is that a genre thing? Like, can you play that many new songs at a show, or is it just because it was your CD release party?
I mean, I play that many new songs every night.
Yeah.
This scene is so wild because, I mean, I do throw in covers. I think it's important to do that but when we do a cover, it's, you know, Johnny Cash, Merle Haggard, or, you know, I'm not covering like current country pop songs or something,
course,
you know?
Of course.
But I think like this genre is so strange like that because they don't care if you do originals. They encourage it almost.
Right.
So I'm so pumped for you. A little disappointed that you featured Cody Canada and not me. No, I'm just kidding. I love Cody Canada. That's
right.
So rad.
I'm
He's the best.
I'm going to ask you now.
Okay.
Will you do a duet with me on my new record?
I'm going to pass out. I was going to pass out already because you bought me a Diet Coke.
Yeah, I did.
I was
and
like,
you know
what's
funny? I knew you wanted one. because I stopped at Sonic on my way and I was like, I got to get a drink. And I was like, Kyle, your tour manager and your producer of the show. Kyle. I go, hey, Kyle. screw you guys. I'm going home. And I was like, hey, Kyle, do y'all want anything? And he goes, no, we're good. And I was like, no, that doesn't seem right. Like nobody, no, There's never a group of two people that turned down Sonic.
Yeah. Right?
Sonic does not sponsor this show, but she would love to have you.
I was just going to say, this show is not brought to you by anybody
no,
yet.
No, yet.
But it could be. Look how good the Sonic cup
looks. Number one drink stop.
I mean, get in here, Sonic.
And look, and you know what? On your cup, it says fun. And Bree Bagwell,
look at what mine says.
She's also cool and chill.
I am. This Sonic.
And
bubbly. I got chill and bubbly. That seems like an oxymoron, but that's
it. Really does, actually.
Sonic, we need to work on your cup wording. But so this podcast, it comes from my van. For those just listening and not watching, this mm-hmm. is my van, which is falling apart. Look at the inside. It got so hot in Texas, the top of the roof is just melting away.
I learned something today. We're not going to talk about any more brands because they don't deserve it.
Oh, they need to pay us for
money.
Right, yeah. I know.
But I'm learning about these vans because I got to get a van.
I know.
You're teaching me so much so I can play new songs.
You can play new songs.
Because in punk rock, or at least, and you know what? I think probably a lot of it is being in a band 28 years, right? So Bowling for Soup's 28 years in. We have 7, 8 legitimate hits. So we have to play those. We have to play the theme song to Phineas and Ferb.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it's like, we don't really have a lot of options during our set. Even at like a 90-minute set, like you have probably 2 audibles that you can throw in there.
Totally.
And so that's sort of like, we do 1 new song off of our new album. Like, and that's honestly pushing it a little bit.
Yeah, but I love that. I mean, it's like, so Robert O'Keefe had a Texas Monthly article that I read that was like, he didn't play The Road Goes On Forever, Party Never Ends. And this guy came and was like, just so upset. He's like, I drove 2 hours. And Robert's like, I've been playing that song for 15 years, you know. But he's like, I realized right then that that's my, you know. And so I get that totally.
If we didn't play 1985 or Girl the Bad Guys Want.
Yep.
And I'll keep listening if you want to. I'll keep you on the list all my hits.
You only listed, you got 5 more, at least. So 6 more. Yeah.
Almost. High School Never Ends.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
We know.
Anyway, so if we don't play those songs, like, people are legitimately angry.
Totally.
But then you have like the hardcore fans that are like, oh, we've heard that 1,000 times, so you can't please everybody. But the majority of the people are there to hear those songs. And the reason that I know that, is because I'm a music fan.
Right.
You know, I go see the bands that I like. You know, I go see Willie Nelson.
Right.
And I know he's going to open up with Whiskey River.
Right.
And it's great every mm-hmm. time, you know. But this is cool. It's good to know. And I'm learning again. So I know I'm taking over your show. I don't mean to.
Please. This is great. This is the best thing that's ever happened to my show. Take it over.
Well, it's only 5 episodes. So, I had asked, like, my tour manager, Dave, used to tour manage Casey Donahue. He worked for him.
Oh, he's the nicest guy in the whole world, besides you.
He's the best.
Yeah. He might be nicer than you, even.
I don't think that that's true. You know, to work for me, you have to be nice to everybody. And I hired a guy from New York.
He was not nice.
No. And he literally had to change his entire personality. So he's just mean on the bus now. But like in front of people, he's really, really super nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
But okay, what were we talking about?
I don't remember.
I got it.
Okay.
So I didn't know, like, are people going to watch this like it's a concert? Or are they dancing? Or is it both? And they watched it like a concert.
Yeah.
And so that was comforting to me. Because the one thing that I was really worried about is, like, what if I play with one of those bands that's in the scene that, like, it is sort of danceable, more danceable kind of music, you know? And I don't really feel like all of my songs are, you know? Like, my stuff is very, like, just old, you know, like, old school, I guess, a little bit. You know?
I think your record is super danceable. It's super yes, it's super honky-tonk. But it's super concerty too. Like you can do both with your record. So I think all the venues in Texas are so different, you know?
They are.
So
do you get
both.
Ones that are like dancing?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah, we do. Or we get ones that are drunk bachelorette-y.
Yeah. So
So there's that.
There was an element of that last night, actually.
There was an element.
There was a couple of birthday parties there.
Mm-hmm.
They all had on blue wigs.
Yeah, it was a wild crowd last night. I didn't get to really settle in until the end, because it was a day for me, you know?
Well, to me, your CD release, and especially, this is a big record for you. I mean, because you're female country artist of the year, right?
But more than, I'm not counting, but like seven times. I know, but that just makes me feel old. Or like you said, it's a lot of pressure now. Cause it's like, I have to be this person, you know, now I have to sell out Green Hall instead of just like, oh my gosh, I'm playing Green Hall. It's like, oh my gosh, I have to sell it out. You know what I mean?
Right. I do get that, by the way. So you seven times, I have seven hits.
I know.
That's our number. Together.
That's our number.
Yeah.
Oh, this episode is called Seven.
We like Diet Cokes in the morning.
Yeah.
Like the number seven.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was basically like your wedding day yesterday.
Right.
And I was like watching the whole thing happen, like from afar, right? You're trying to, you know, be gracious and you said, but there had to have been some sort of like anxiety within you.
Yeah.
Because it's like, this is a big, big night.
It's a big night.
Sold out Green Hall. It's your CD release. You know, like you're playing some of these songs in front of people for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, and then it was a magical night, though. You handled it great.
Also, your sweet piano player left my little chart up there because I had a new song that I've never played. And I was like, oh, I should have told him, you know.
Yeah.
He's the best. So it was like fine.
Yeah. That dude's a pro. Like he's been doing it for so long.
I was like, don't play this piano. Jim. This piano is going to be like, what the hell? This is not how my real owner plays me. He's like, this is not right.
The piano itself
I'm very confused.
Right. I know.
We don't use all these keys.
That's how I feel when somebody hands me a guitar. I'm just like, yeah, you know, I can't do any of the stuff that you're doing.
Or
right
whatever.
Now. Oh no, God. I'm not a shredder. I'm self-taught. I play incorrectly. In fact, the same piano player that you're talking about the other day at practice, we rehearsed two times and not everybody was at both rehearsals. And, but the one that he was at, he was talking about how he watches the guitar player's hands to see like where he is in the song and stuff.
Oh, nice.
And I go, don't watch mine. Cause I play everything wrong. And he goes, yeah, I noticed that.
Oh my God. And then you're like, you're fired. But then you're like, no, you're staying.
No,
you know what you're.
Oh. But I'm self-taught. Like, right. I'm a drummer. I'm an educated drummer. I started out playing drums. I played drums in school, marching band and stuff like that. I can sight read drum music. And then my second instrument was piano, kinda, but I'm not very good. And then I just taught myself to play guitar so I could write songs.
Same. Exact same. I know enough, you know. To write, and that's the only thing I want to do when I sit down with a guitar. I don't want to learn. I don't want to shred. No. I want to just write songs. Mm-hmm. And but my boyfriend is like a really, really like great guitar player, like studio good. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to do it ever either.
Right.
I'm like, well, you do it.
The thing about learning theory, though, as a songwriter is it paints you into a corner. Mm. And so I write songs with a lot of people or have over the years, and that's the one thing is like, look, I don't know any theory. I don't know what key we're in. I don't know like what notes are in the scale or whatever. I can just do what sounds good. And, you know, I've had like producers and my best friend is our producer. I was about to lump him into a group, but it's really Linus. He'll go, this makes no sense. Like, you can't do this. Those two things don't go together. You're singing the wrong note. And I'm going, but this is what I want it to sound like. And he goes, yeah, but it's not right. Yeah, I don't care. I like it.
Right.
You know, and we leave it because it's like, look, I don't have the same rules he does because that's not all up in my head.
Yeah, totally. It's really crazy. My producer was there last night. She's so sweet. And by the way, I got through like a giant chunk of my show before I was like, I haven't even talked about my friend Jarrett and how good they were. And I'm so excited. So I'm sorry about that. But I couldn't really talk because I was so emotional.
Yeah.
So, but I did give you some love. Green Hall is a magical place. And so this podcast is kind of like, we just, for a brief second, usually we just chat because it's all my friends.
Yeah.
So, but we, for a brief moment, we have like a very specific topic. And so like my last girlfriend that was in here, we talked about how many DMs we get for our feet. You know, send me feet pictures and stuff.
Do people really ask you for that?
You have no idea.
Really?
And I've really come close. Times are tough. But yours, I wanted to talk about.
Would you sell feet pictures?
Okay. Yeah, I know. But, and we're back.
Would you do it anonymously? Or would you just be like, look, I'm a public figure. And look, you know, I'm going to sell this at a premium.
Well, I think that's part of the draw,
Yeah.
You know, is that it's my feet.
Yeah, your feet.
So.
Wait, do you have good feet?
I have pretty good feet,
yeah?
You know?
Okay.
Like, I don't brag about a lot of things, but I don't have bad feet. And yeah, my boyfriend, it's a very sincere conversation because it's like, absolutely not. But if it was like $20,000, am I going
to
say no? You know what I mean? What if it was like, what if it was that much money? It has never been offered.
You don't have to do anything weird, like stick them in mustard or anything, right? Like, or
I would stick them in mustard for $20,000.
Yeah, I would too, actually. I have pretty good feet for a boy.
I think you have good feet. I honestly peeked down at them for a second.
Did you really?
Like, let me just say.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
They're good feet.
And boy feet are gross. I mean, like,
Boy, in general, is pretty gross.
100%. I don't know how y'all do it.
I know.
I'm serious. Like, we are so disgusting. Like, all of our body parts, we don't have to get, like, super specific, but you know the main one that differs us? It's just the grossest thing. It's so stupid.
It's so insane because, like, my boyfriend is very, like, clean and, like, we don't talk about gross things and we don't, like, do gross things in front of each other.
Sure.
And I think that's a giant part of why I love him so much.
Sure, yeah.
Like, you know, people talk about how, and I'm like, oh, Paul has never done that. And
yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
I just am not into right. that.
Yeah, like, do you have the friends that, like, poop at the door open
that's
and stuff?
That's exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah, and it's the worst.
Why do you
do that?
I mean, I'm sweating just thinking about that.
I don't even have evidence that my wife goes to the number two.
I love her. And her name's Casey. My drummer's wife's name is Casey. And I've never met a bad Casey. I love that.
No. One of my best friends was there last night, and his name is Casey. And then one of my other best friends owns a studio in Dallas. His name's Casey, and my wife's name's Casey. And they're all awesome.
They're great people.
Yeah.
Casey's are just wonderful all around.
Casey's are great.
And we don't go to the bathroom.
Actually, Casey's boys do, for sure. Because we talk about it. But I don't ask how their kids are.
I think it's fine to be human. Amazing. Right.
Okay.
Exactly. That's
all
the
right.
things that boys talk about.
So don't ask her for foot pictures unless it's 20 grand.
I want 20 grand and I'll do some mustard.
A little bit of mustard.
Sonic
will provide the mustard, right? You just
I don't even know how we got here. I wanted to ask you about your topic was green rooms, and now we have like 5 minutes.
Okay.
But your topic was green rooms, and the reason is because country green rooms are so much maybe different that like my green room, like all my guys are either married or almost married. It's like me gluing on an eyelash and them like paying their cable bills. Like our green rooms are real boring.
Yeah, so if you were to like come out on the road with us, you would find it to be the most boring thing in the world. Like it is like you walk into our backstage, and I think that's just it. People are like, "Oh, y'all are coming to town. I'm going to come hang out."
Yeah,
and that's exactly what's happening. You have Chris Burney sits on his computer with his headphones in and just literally in front of a mirror and watches movies all day. Never says a word. The dog is right there at his feet the whole day. And then me and Rob and Gary are just sitting there like on and off our phones and our computers. And honestly, the guys just work. There's five crew guys.
Yeah.
And then when they're not working, they just fall asleep in random places and stuff.
Right.
But I think all green rooms are like, I think once you get to a certain point, like it's just, that's your comfort area.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like one of those things where like, we're pretty, you can infiltrate us pretty much anytime, but there's certain areas like our bus or our dressing room where it's like, okay, this is the only thing we have. This is the closest thing to home that we have. So just be respectful, you know, like some random drunk guy waddles in, you know, and it's like, man, come on, think about what you're doing here. Like, would you walk into somebody's house? And maybe he would, but not in Texas. That would be stupid. He would get shot.
Right. I agree. And the drunk bar owner, even, you're just like,
oh my God.
Come on, man.
Oh, but you know what? You do have the advantage of, though. And tell me, I think I'm right.
I don't have to go to the bathroom.
That's right. Yeah. No. So in pop world, radio DJs are the worst. They're horrible.
That's so sad.
And I can say that. You know why? Because I don't care if I ever have another hit.
Right.
I already had seven. Right? country DJs are
the best.
Awesome.
I know.
The program directors are so great. The owner of the station like meets you at the door when you go by to promote and stuff. And I've done two radio promo tours for the new record. And every single experience, even the guys who like were like, oh, okay, I didn't know you were coming, but let's make this work or whatever, have been so awesome.
Yeah. I did two like giant ones way 10 years ago, like 60, you know, stations, whatever. And then I started doing less and less. And now I kind of just go when I can, mm-hmm. and they'll all text me. They all play the record. Like they're all just my friends now. Yeah. And it's so great. Like
it's awesome.
Oh, so yeah. Welcome to that.
I love it because in the pop world, and maybe this is why pop radio is dying, because they all want to be like those rock star DJs from the 80s, and that doesn't exist anymore.
I was little. What were they like? I was set three. I was born in 87.
Okay, seven.
I was 2 years away from the big time.
Okay, so no, but was there ever a time though where like radio, you would like, they would set up at a car lot and you would go and get a free shirt and like a sticker?
Yeah, okay.
Not as much.
I'm also from like Southern New Mexico, so.
Okay. Well.
But I get that.
They were rock stars, DJs were back then. And I feel like they just sort of like, anyway.
Right, like they're the person.
They're
like,
the thing.
Oh my
like,
gosh.
Like you're in there and to be honest, like even if you're an up and coming artist to me, like it's great content for them. You know, you're there and you're providing this awesome content of like, okay, well, I'm introducing you guys. Like, maybe this is your first interview in this town or whatever. And this artist could blow up and you could be like, oh, yeah, I had Eddie Vedder in here, you know, whatever. And but they treat you like they are doing you the biggest favor. And it's just, and honestly, there's good ones, like there isn't everything. But the moral to all of this is what I've found is Texas radio people are so cool. And I'm not just saying that to get my song on the radio because I honestly just appreciate everything I get. It has been great.
So great. I had one of those because with this record, I have a PR team now. And so I'm getting kind of like national interviews. So it's strange to me because I've been talking to people that don't know me, don't know who I am, don't care.
Right.
And this one guy, I got on there and it was a Zoom, which I hate now too. Can we just go back to talking on the phone?
No.
Oh, man.
Oh, because
I got to get ready.
You got to get ready.
They put it on Facebook and
I know. I do have to do like put stuff in my hair.
It looks great. Your hair's great.
Thank you.
But it takes me a long time. This is also from last night. Like this eyelash is about to fly away.
Yeah.
But whatever. But he was on the Zoom and he goes, I'm the only one. I thought this was like a group thing. He goes, oh, I don't know anything about you. And he's like, so then I answer one question and then he goes, well, I just looked at you should be making content of you singing every day. Why aren't you singing every day on your social media? And then he goes into this rant and I was just like, what am I doing here?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a full, like you said, it's a full-time job, but I think you're a lifer and I love following you because you do all these different things. It seems like you're open to all these different things, but these opportunities kind of find you like Chuck E. Cheese.
It's true.
It's like that. I listened to that.
All of that stuff
it's found you.
Found me. Yeah. Yeah.
But you're also everyone. It's so cute. Cause when you read about you, everyone's like, he's the nicest guy ever. And I'm like,
true, yeah.
I'm really nice and I'm not famous.
Right.
So I've been trying, but it pays off for some people, but you're also really talented. Don't get me wrong, but.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. I just decided one day I was in a bad mood in the eighth grade. And I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just not going to be in a bad mood anymore. You know? And I just really honestly do just enjoy being here on the planet.
Yeah.
And I just treat people awesome. And that's what you do.
And your people treat people awesome.
My people have to. It's part of their job.
They do. And I love them.
Yeah, they have to.
Thank you for having such a great crew.
Well, like, thank you very much.
It's so inspiring.
Thank you.
I have one too.
Do you want to talk about green rooms?
Oh, well, we have like 1 minute. Do you have like one wild green room story?
Who's
the coolest person in your green room? Or does all the punk rock people have eyeliner on their writers?
No, none of us wear makeup.
I know. You guys don't?
No. But
I look through a lot of videos to make sure.
Yeah, no, we never did. I mean, like Green Day does. And like there's a few of those guys out there that do. But for the most part, none of like the core guys like us, Simple Plan, you found.
You just have great hair.
We all don't need eyeliner
when you have great
hair.
Most
of us have pretty good hair.
Yeah.
And everybody's got a bald guy, you know, and sometimes they wear hats. Coolest person in the dressing room is me. I'm the only one that talks to anybody. Like when somebody comes in, everybody just sits there. And so I'm from Texas, right? Like I grew up like with manners. Like I stand up and I'm like, hey, you know, what's going on? And then I try to dump them off on somebody else.
I just meant like you've probably hung with like some epic people.
Sebastian Bach was just at my show in Las Vegas from Skid Row. Yeah. And he brought his whole family. And that was cool. So for some reason, hair metal bands love Bowling for Soup.
Uh-huh.
So I believe every member of Twisted Sister has been to a show.
That's cool.
Mark McGrath has been to shows.
Can I come to your green room at a Bowling for Soup show?
Please.
I will come.
Yes, please. I just spit like right in your face. And you full on like blinked. Oh my God. It's the Diet Coke, I think.
And it's also like I'm sweating because it's like 1,000 degrees. And I'm so embarrassed that you're here in my hot van.
No, but I'm glad to be in here. I'm learning so much.
We
about
had a
you
great,
too.
A great chat, and I just appreciate it. You're so great. Your new record's so great.
Thank you.
We're doing a duet because it's on contract now because it's contractual.
Yes, don't bail on me.
Okay.
Both the phones died.
That's a good place to end. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
With me and my dog.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Yeah, bye.
Bye, Ka. Hey, Ka.
Ka.
My name is not Ka.
Hit the wall, never had it all. One Prozac a day, husband's a CPA. Her dreams went out the door when she turned 24. Only been with one man, what happened to her plan? She was gonna be an actress, she was gonna be a star. She was gonna shake her ass on the hood of Whitesnake's car. Her yellow SUV is now the enemy. Looks at her average life and nothing. See you.